Let's turn over to Numbers 18 and verse 20. Let's see what the Levites have coming. And this is what we have coming. What is our inheritance? And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, referring to the Levites, not to have any inheritance in their land. Neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am your part. I am your part and your inheritance among the children of Israel. The children of Israel, as we know, picture that great harvest. And that's why that great harvest going through for 40 years through the wilderness, they were not circumcised because they were not God's. It pictured that, although God was taking care of them there. But he had that spiritual picture working. So what is our inheritance? Same as the Levites. They may receive some physical thing. We are receiving a spiritual thing. And that spiritual thing is God. He is that inheritance. In Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10:9. It says, wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. Brethren, this is you. You don't have that inheritance of this earth. You know, it says the meek shall inherit the earth. And they are. You are going to inherit something much greater. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, which is everything the Father has. The Lord is his inheritance. The Lord is our inheritance, according as the Lord your God promised him. That's a pretty nice inheritance for all of us, isn't it? God is our inheritance, not the world, not dirt. But the Father in heaven is our inheritance. That's great. Deuteronomy 18. When we make a point, we give a few scriptures. And you can continue studying from that. Deuteronomy 18:2. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among the brethren. The Lord is their inheritance. It tells you what your inheritance is over and over and over. It's going to be a great inheritance. Over in Joshua 13. Joshua 13, verse 14. Now they've come over that Jordan River. Okay. It says, and he's telling them who's going to get what inheritance, what tribe is going to get what, and he's going through this. And he says in verse 14, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. They don't get a physical inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance. That's what their inheritance is, as he said unto them. I think that is absolutely fantastic. You know, if you wonder why you may not have a lot of physical things here on this earth, and as the things draw near, there's going to be an awful lot more persecution as this real truth does come out and Satan is exposed. We're really going to get beat on physically, spiritually, everything else, I'm afraid. And when you look around yourself, because this is Satan's society, God doesn't generally bless through all kinds of physical things. His wealth is spiritual and spiritual knowledge, not the physical. This is Satan's world. So when we all sit and feel sorry for ourselves once in a while because of maybe a lack of physical things or maybe not doing as well as the rest of this world, think about what you picture and think about who we are. And we don't have inheritance in this land. And he certainly isn't really giving us overall much physical inheritance to leave either, is he? He certainly isn't. Because we picture and we are those first fruits. You know, we are ambassadors. We are temporary dwellers here in this country or this world. So if you need to seek a fortune, you probably will have to go outside the church to do that. And of course, if you have God's Spirit, you can't do that. So the real inheritance that we're going to have is going to be so much better than any clunky thing here. This is for a moment. This is 70 years out of our life. But look what we're going to have for eternity. And that Holy Spirit, and pray for that. That God puts that confidence through the Spirit within your mind. That we get our minds off of the pride of life and of the lust of this world and get it on the Father in heaven. And then, as Paul said, even though we may not have things, we may be in prison, we may be all kinds of things like him, you will find yourself content because the Spirit of God makes you content. Not anything that you can purchase or have. In Joshua 18, verse 7, it says, "But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood," get this, "for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance." Remember that first scripture we read? "For the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance." Then it goes on to talk about some of the other nations there. But Levi, us, the first fruits, the priesthood, that's our inheritance. And we'll define that a little bit more. Ezekiel. And this really is quite exciting to know and to understand. And with the assurity, because God cannot lie. And if he can't lie, and he is telling us this is what our inheritance is, and he sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and we will be there as part of the 144,000, you know, you're reading a will here. It can't be changed. It's the will of your Father. No one can change that. Now, Ezekiel 44, and this is talking about in the great last day. If you go back and study this, and this part is talking about this, the great last day. So, Ezekiel 44, verse 28. Now, this is after the fact. Everything's happened here, brethren. And it says, "And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. You, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. Because I, God the Father, am their possession." Can't change. That is fantastic. Can't use words. There's no words to describe that. Pray and ask God that the Holy Spirit within you is heightened to allow you to understand the true glory of what is going on here. and give you a high that drugs or anything else could never give you. That's that confidence of knowing who you are and what's going on. We, the first fruits, were pictured by those Levites. The 144,000, as we learned in atonement last year, we go to God, and we are accepted by God. And later comes that great harvest. But we are taken into that Holy of Holies and accepted by the Father. And we're the only ones allowed to do that. Christ and us being all part of that. Now what does he say? Let's go to Revelation. This is all of us. Now in all the different areas of the church, he says different things. And they all do apply to all of us. This is all to the first fruits. All the areas of the church are first fruits. And all apply. Now how he's going to regulate and do things up there, you know, he's not a respecter of persons. And I can't see him loving one of us more than loving someone that he brought, who he sanctified and put that Holy Spirit in, let's say in the era of Sardis, where they barely knew anything. Or even in Laodicea, where he did fulfill what he said was going to happen. We are all his children and stand alike. Now what he is going to do with us and what different situations and responsibility, we'll have to see. But anything he gives us, we haven't earned. So it doesn't matter, does it? Whatever he gives us, it's going to be so tremendous. But here, speaking about, we'll just stay with the Philadelphians, because we are right now. In Revelation 3, verse 12. And whenever you see the word overcome, him that overcome, how do you overcome? You overcome by the Spirit of God. You've overcome Satan. He has no more power of death on you. And we have all overcome that. Him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Remember, he separated the Levites out of that whole group. Made them special. Pictured us. What's he doing to us? I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Doesn't mean we're not going to leave. It means we'll never be separated from the Father. Ever. Ever. We'll have different responsibilities, but we'll always be with the Father. Never, ever to be separated from him. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. That's you. That's the first fruits. Now we're going to be in the temple. We're going to be a pillar in the temple, right? Well, let's turn back to Revelation 21. When John was in this vision, the first thing he looked for, because that was a central point of all of Jews' lives and anything in that religion and anything at that point really with God's church too. They still looked at the temple. They went in there and they worshipped a little bit too. And so when he saw this vision, and it is a vision, of this new city, this new heaven and earth, what's the first thing John's looking for? He wants to know where the temple is, the very temple of God, where the Father is, where Jesus Christ is. So he's looking at this, and the preceding verses here are going through and showing how beautiful the gates are going to be and the walls of the city. There's going to be 12... The wall, let's see, it says in verse 14, the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 apostles, very important in all of this, isn't it? And it comes down as talking about the streets of gold and these gates of pearl, and in one of the measurements. Interesting, verse 17, and he measured the wall, and 144 cubits. You know. So we, the 144,000, are going to be in there. It's odd that that pops up in all those same numbers. But going on, it goes to these different 12 layers of gold, and the streets of gold, just going to be beautiful in there. And the diamonds and the sapphires and all these different levels. And he sees the gates in verse 21. They're all pearls. And each pearl, each gate is one pearl. Just tremendous. And the city, and the street of the city was pure gold. And it was transparent like glass. And just fantastic. So he's looking, he's getting this view in there. And boy, he wants to see that temple. And this is what John saw. And he was astounded at first. He says, and I saw no temple therein. Well, he just said we're going to be pillars of the temple. He doesn't see some physical temple here. And then he lets us know what it is. He says, for there, I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And he just said that we're going to be pillars in that temple. That's where the first fruits are going to be. That's what this day pictures. It pictures those seven church eras. It pictures that wave sheaf. The Levites picture the first fruits. And what are we going to do? In chapter 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. See, Satan is gone. There will be no more curse on this earth. It's going to be a heavenly place at that point. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. And we certainly are going to be His servants. And we are going to serve the Father in heaven forever. Now, nothing can be happier than that. Nothing can. You know, we didn't really understand a lot of this. And we didn't understand the meaning of a lot of the holy days, as we have seen through the past year. God had to first, at this time, not Mr. Armstrong's time, it wasn't time. It's time now. It's time to prepare the very bride of Jesus Christ. It's time that that bride is introduced to who the groom really is, and what he stands for, and what his Father stands for. And that we haven't been introduced to yet. We have here. But there's many other brethren out there that haven't. And that is our job. And that is what will happen. God had to reveal, not through study, reveal revelations, just as Paul received. Reveal His true plan of salvation. So that we then could look back. We could go back and look at what He had already written, so that we could see the true picture that is ahead of us. Remember the movie? This is Back to the Future. That's what we're doing. This is Back to the Future. Once you have the true plan of salvation, you know what that is. Now we can go back to the Old Testament and learn more about that picture, what the picture really means. And that picture is showing what? It's showing us in the future. We truly are going back to the future here. It's just very, very exciting. You can't get it from study. It has to come through revealed knowledge, and then His Word makes sense. Then His Spirit does it. You know, it says in Exodus 12, verse 13, that Israel was saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's how Israel was saved. And in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, applying to us, it says that Christ is our Passover. We went through this on Unleavened Bread, where the blood had to be put from that lamb around the door. Well, Christ had to be sacrificed with His blood. That's what that pictured. It says those people were put into those homes. God says, stay in your homes now, and that blood's around the door. What did they have to do? In the morning, when they could see it was light and it was morning, they came out, every one of them, they came out through their door. That's what the symbols are there for. Christ is the door. John 10, 7, it says it. All these symbols. But to really understand it, you have to go back and see what He pictured by all this. He didn't just do something. I mean, He really did it, didn't He? And they were going to come out in the morning, to come out in the light of day. What does it say about Christ for us? Christ is the light. He's the light, and that's where we are. We're in that light. They came through the door with the blood around it, and they came out into the light. We have come through the door by the blood of Christ. And the door is Christ. And the door and Christ is also that light. It's a total fulfillment. Israel came out of Egypt in 7 days. It was on that seventh day that they passed through the Red Sea. The church eras, the seven eras of the church, have overcome this Egypt. And that's how we have come out, through those seven eras of the church. And those 7 days picture the seven eras of God's church. The Levites pictured the first fruits. The other Israelites, the great last day, or the great harvest, rather. We are the first fruits. And the rest of the world? The rest of the world pictures that great harvest. God took the Levites for Himself. The first fruits go to God first. And when they're accepted, then the great harvest can take place. They, the Levites, served in the temple and in the tabernacle. We are going to be part of that temple, and we are going to serve God in that holy temple. See how clear this picture is? God didn't diddle around here. He made it very plain once we knew the facts. The wave sheaf happened on the first day of the week, in that one day after the Sabbath. Christ was accepted on that first day of the week, in that one day. There were 7 weeks equaling 49 days. There are the seven eras of the church, which are the first fruits. Can we understand a little bit better when it says count 50? That means an equals Pentecost. What He really had in mind, the picture of what He really was doing. We thought it was the beginning of the church. No, brethren, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of his marvelous plan. Pentecost pictures the celebration of the sealing of the harvest and of the first fruits. The wave sheaf pictures the start of God's church with Christ and that Holy Spirit, because he was accepted. That's the beginning of the church. By the time we get done with the 50 days, it's a celebration of the harvest of the first fruits. And he shows us very plain what had happened in those 50 days. Okay, count 50 equals the seven church eras and Christ being sealed by the Holy Spirit. All the 144,000 will be sealed. See, they'll all be sealed. In Revelation 7:3 talks about everything will be sealed. He holds back those angels just before the trumpets. Now that's the next holy day to come. See how this pictures it? They're all sealed. Pentecost shows that. Then what do we have on the next one? We have the day of trumpets. And we'll go through that again with hopefully more explanation. We have to remember and know that in the great last day, people will keep Pentecost forever. We have read that over and over through these holy days, how it will take place forever. And they're going to be reminded of the harvest of the first fruits that made it possible for them to be there in the great last day. They're going to be reminded of you. Remember when Christ comes in that great last day with the Father, and who's standing by him and behind him? 144,000 first fruits. It is a glorious, glorious day. It can't get any better than what God has shown. Let's turn back here to 1 Peter, where we started. And let's read this with a little bit more insight now of what Peter, that first apostle and chief apostle, was inspired to write for us. And he knew what he was talking about. We didn't know when we read what he was really talking about, the full depths of this. But this time we'll read the whole verse. It should mean a little bit more to us at the end of this. But you, brethren, you, the first fruits, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There's going to be the other priesthood serving with King David physically. We've already read those things. But you are going to be a royal priesthood serving the Father. That's fantastic. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's our inheritance. A holy nation, a purchased people, for a special thing. That you, because of all of this, because of that you should show forth the praises and the virtues of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. There's nothing Protestant about this. This is his marvelous light and his marvelous understanding and what he is going to do with us. Brethren, look at what God is truly doing and what he has done and what he has pictured and what he is doing with us. We are the richest, most wealthy people in the world who have ever lived. and we are of the Father. How great truly is your calling, that he has given this to you rather than your neighbors or relatives. He gave it to you. He chose you. He predestined you before the foundation of the world. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before you existed. That's how important you are to him. We've got to look at ourselves, brethren. Is he always that important to us? And that's why Peter is saying that we should show forth the praises and virtues of him who hath called us out of this darkness into his marvelous light. Brethren, we ought to think about this and never ever forget it. People will be keeping the feast of Pentecost forever, praising God's works and the first fruits and Jesus Christ. You know, we are those works. We are his works. And we are the church. The 144,000 royal priests. Brethren, that's who we are. And that's what this day means. And it is a celebration of the completion of that and the harvest of the first fruits. And believe you me, that all of the people in the great last day are going to be so thrilled and so honored to keep that day and rejoice every day on that year, that day, every year, forever in front of God for what he has done to you and me.